as always, it's always a privilege and an honor to be able to share with you on a Sunday morning. The opportunities, I look forward to it. It is a blessing for me, always. Even if it is a last-minute deal, the Bible says something about being ready in season and out of season. And so always be in season, I guess. But thank you for the opportunity this morning. We're going to be looking at a couple of passages this morning, and we're going to be looking at Psalms 91, kind of an intro into where we're going. Then we're going to dive into 1 John chapter 5 a little bit there. But I don't know about you, but I've had this accusation from my lovely wife more than one time. You hear me, but you're not listening. Anybody else guilty of that? Have you ever told yourself, I heard what they said, but I didn't hear what they said? Or, I told you, but you didn't listen. Yes, my kids were really, really, really good at that. And the only thing I can assume is it was an inherited trait. I don't know. Kim tells me that often. So, because I do hear her. Then she goes, what did I say? I go, can you say it again? You know? Matter of fact, sometimes we hear and we think we're listening, but we don't understand what, or we didn't get what was really said. We did a thing with a youth not too long ago where, if you remember as a kid, the little activity, the whisper activity where they were, you're in a line and you tell the first person something and they pass it down the line and you see what's said at the end. I had one of the most unique ones happen. I shared with the very first person in the line, sometimes you just need a second chance. That's what I said. Sometimes you just need a second. Seven words. By the time it went through about 35 people, it came out at the end, hola. I have no idea how I got that way. No idea. But hearing and not listening. Kind of reminds me, if you remember, when the cell phones were just starting to get big in the early 2000s, Verizon had a commercial that started then that's carried on for a long, long time with a flip phone and all. If you remember your first cell phone, I mean, I've been around a little while. It was actually a bag phone. You know, it was bigger than a house phone that you had at the house that you carried around with you. But around 2000, they went to the smaller flip phone, you know. And the reception was never that great unless you were, like, parked up under a cell tower. You know, you could walk around your house and you'd lose it in the middle of town or whatever. But Verizon come up with the commercial that stuck for a long time. Can you hear me now? Yeah, that's why we feel sometimes when we're talking to people or they feel that way when they're talking to us. Can you hear me now? Do you get it? Are you even listening? Well, sometimes in life, when chaos hits and everything is happening, and if it can go wrong, it's going to go wrong. And if it can go really bad, it's going to go really bad. You're being pulled 100 different directions. And you're going to God, it seems like, every time you turn around because something's not right. And you're praying. And you're then after a while, you're to yourself, is God even listening? Does he even hear? Is he even paying attention to what I'm going through? Life is hurtful. Life is painful. This is going on in my life. This is going on with my family. This is happening with my kids. Work is falling apart or whatever it may be. Is God even listening? I don't know about you, but I would dare say somewhere in the long line, every single one of us have been at that point at some time. Is God even listening? Have you ever struggled to be heard in a noisy room? That happens for me most Wednesday nights. At the beginning of youth worship, anyway. Have you ever had to repeat yourself because someone was there, but they were not paying attention to you? Have you ever had something important to say, but felt like no one really cared and they weren't really paying any attention? Have you ever poured your heart out to someone and then realized they really wasn't even listening at all? I think we've all been there sometime and point. Or either I'm on this island all by myself. I don't know, but I don't think that's the case. I think every one of us have been there before. When you feel like you're not being listened to, it's annoying, it's frustrating, and it can even be very painful. And this is true when we're communicating with other people, but it's also true when we're communicating with God, when we ask ourselves, is God even listening? There's lots of reasons why you might ask this question, but it seems to get asked more often than not when times are difficult and times are painful. God, do you even hear me? When you're trying to communicate with God, who you can't hear with your ears, you can't see with your eyes, sometimes it's understandable that we struggle with the communicating with God. We fear we're not being heard, or we feel like God doesn't care, or he's not listening. Especially when life is hurtful and we're desperately needing to know that God hears us, we ask, God, are you listening? We talk about a lot of prayer in the church. Our faith talks a lot about prayer. It's built on prayer. But if the idea of prayer is new or confusing to you, think about it this way. Every prayer is a conversation with God. And every conversation with God is a prayer. You can pray using passages of Scripture, or you can pray just using your own words, pouring out to God. You can pray silently, or you can pray aloud. You can pray with your eyes open, or you can pray with your eyes closed. Just make sure if they're closed, you're not driving, please. Your prayers can thank God. Your prayers can praise God. Your prayers can be apologizing to God, asking for forgiveness. Your prayers can ask God for help. And let's be honest, that's more often our prayer than not, asking God for help. If you want to know how to pray, we can dive into the book of Psalms. So much of Psalms is prayers. This whole book is a collection of prayers from many different authors written over many years. Some Psalms celebrate good times in people's lives. Others deal with heaviness of a difficult situation and wonder where God is in the midst of it. Some psalms are only a few sentences long, while others take up pages and pages. There's a lot of diversity in the different chapters of the book of Psalms, but there's something about every one of them that they have in common. The authors of these psalms were always honest in their prayers to God. They always poured out their heart to God. And in Psalms 91, we're going to read this. We find a writer trying to balance his trust in God with his very difficult experiences he was going through. As we read these words, I have a question for you. I want you to wonder and think about, what do you think the psalmist might be going through when he wrote this? So let's read through Psalms 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. And he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Before you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On your hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Your serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. We don't know exactly what this psalmist was in this psalm, but we do see a list of difficulties he was facing. He was talking about his enemies, disease, fear, attacks, armies, and death. We don't know exactly what his experience was, but it sounds something very painful and very hard to face. But even though he's hurting, he manages to write this prayer declaring that even in the most difficult times, God always, as you read this, God always protects. He always gives us rest. He is safe. He can be trusted. He will rescue us. He cares for us. He is powerful. He is with us. And he is listening. A long time after this passage was written, 1 John was written. It doesn't specifically say in 1 John who wrote 1 John. But when we read it, we see that it matches the writing style of another writer, which was John. And some other followers during that time give credit to John for being the writer, that being John the Apostle, one of Jesus' closest followers. It matches Revelation and it matches the book of John in the writing style. He wrote this, what is believed to, is to the churches in the vicinity of Ephesus that was listed in the first part of Revelation. So he's writing it to churches. And the purpose of this book is given in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, so that people know Jesus, can know Jesus and have fellowship with the Father. That was the purpose of this book. So understand this. What we're going to dive into is all for the purpose to understand we can have true and right fellowship with God the Father. 1 John chapter 5 deals with what the question I started off with. Is God listening? 1 John chapter 5 verses 13, 14, and 15. Join me as we read this passage. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us and whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. So let's kind of dive into a little bit of what John is telling us in this passage. First off, we're given a couple of assurances in this passage. And the first assurance is that we can have eternal life. Verse 13 gives us that. It confirms that God has seen what we've been through. He has seen who we are. He has seen everything that has gone wrong in our life and everything that we've done wrong. And even through all of this, he cares and he listens. In our deepest need, when we were lost without hope and without Jesus, God provided. He gives us the assurance that the lost can be found, that the hopeless can have hope, the guilty to be forgiven. And when we call on his name, he will listen and give us eternal life. So we have the assurance that when we call on God, he's going to listen when we turn to him in faith and give us eternal life. And then we have this other assurance. We can have confidence in God. Confidence is we know that without a doubt we can completely rely and trust on someone or something. Without a doubt, without hesitance, we can rely and trust. John says we have confidence that God hears us. John's confidence clearly comes from a place of very deep trust and faith in God because of the relationship he had with Jesus Christ himself. Trust is built within a relationship, and John had a very close and trusted relationship with God. You and I may not be able to walk side by side with Jesus like John did, but we can still develop that same deep, trusted relationship with God. You and I may not be able to hear Jesus speak in person, but we've got all we need in the words of Scripture of Jesus speaking to us. The more time we spend getting close to Jesus, the more our trust in him will grow. And the more our trust in Jesus grows, the more confident we will become that he hears us when we pray. So we get to the next part, that when we ask, he hears. When we ask, when we pour out our heart and our life to God, he hears. But we can't overlook the one requirement. There's one prerequisite. We must ask according to his will. And when we do that, he hears and he answers. His will found in his word that we have readily available to us. His will comes through the work of the Holy Spirit in our life in accordance with his word. The closer we draw to God, the more clear his will becomes in our life. How do we have this confidence? Going back to where we started, by believing in faith in Jesus Christ. We can have it. It works like this. Belief and faith in Jesus leads to a relationship with God. And the relationship with God leads to a growing of confidence in God. And then the closer our relationship with God grows, the more confidence we have in God. And the more confidence we have in God, the more our relationship grows. And the more relationship grows with God, the more confidence we have in God. That's how we get there. That's how we get to the point of understanding we have confidence in God, that when we call on his name, he hears. As I was sharing this past week, sometimes we don't like how he responds. You've probably have heard this more times than I, but when we pour out our heart and life to God, sometimes if it's according to his will, I think there's two answers we get sometimes. When we pray, pour out, and it's according to God's will to answer us in a positive way, he's going to say yes. But the answer sometimes may be, and we don't like this, it's yet, but it's not time yet. It may be yes, but wait. There's a better time for that. And then if we don't pray, calling out to God according to his will, you can rest assured the answer is going to be no, which we don't like it either. That's when we kind of get within our own self, say, well, I can do it anyway. I can do it my way, and I'm going to make it happen because I know if I jump into it and I'm doing it for the right motive reason in my mind, I'm doing it with the right motivation in my mind, and it's something good, I think God will bless it. Even though he may be saying, no, that's not for you. We think that way, do we not? I know I do. Then I'll go back and reevaluate, and I go, that was a flop. I shouldn't have done it. I should have listened to God to start with. But when we pray according to his will, according to the work of the Holy Spirit within our life, his answer is going to be yes, or yes, but wait. But we know for sure if we're praying outside of his will, his answer is going to be no. You know why it's no? Because it's not for us. It's not best for us. It's not what's going to bring us closer to God. It's not what's going to bring joy and peace in our lives if we walk with him on a daily basis. That's why. And those are hard times to accept. You know why? Because we're very prideful people sometimes. So when life is difficult, it's understandable to wonder if God really cares or if he's really listening. Pain and hurts tend to make us feel more isolated than we really are. If we're not careful, our hurt can make us doubt and forget the things that we know to be true about our God. So if you're ever wondered, when life hurts, is God listening? The answer is yes. Even when our prayers are full of anger, hurt, doubt, accusation, God is still there patiently, lovingly listening to us. For believers, we can have this confidence that God is always near, God will always hear, and God will never leave us. Never leave us. You can have this confidence that God is near at all times. And if you don't know Christ in a personal relationship with him, you can. The confidence in Christ, the confidence in God begins when we pour out to our heart to him for the very first time and starting that relationship with him. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us how it all starts. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. That's how you start the relationship with God that leads to confidence that God is who he says he is, God is going to do what he said he's going to do, and he's never going to turn his back on us. So that may be for some of you today, that may be where you need to start. I don't know. But God is always waiting and listening for that prayer. Or you may be a believer. You may have asked Christ into your heart. But you may need to commit to getting closer to God through his word, through prayer, and through growing together in your faith with other believers. And through that, your confidence in God will grow. That he is who he said he is. He will do what he said he will do. He will never leave us. And yes, God is listening. God is listening. So as we wrap up our message today, if you're here today and you don't know Christ, you've never accepted him into your heart, there's no better time and place to start than today. There's really not. And as we head into our invitation time, I'm going to be down front. I would love to talk with you about it and pray with you about it. But if you're here today and you know Christ, and you say, my confidence in Christ and God is not where it should be. You're in that second group. The altar's always open to come and pray. The altar's always open for you to come and pray with somebody. So I want to give you that opportunity today to either respond by saying, I want to come and talk, and learn a little bit more what it means to start this relationship with God, or to come and just pray that, God, I want to commit to grow in my faith so that my confidence in you grows, knowing you are the God in control. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that even in the midst of everything we've been through and we've done, you loved us unconditionally, Father. And then when we come to you and we pour our hearts out to you, you answer our prayer, Father. Whether it's a prayer of seeking forgiveness or it's a prayer of just pouring out according to your will, Father, you answer. You're there. You do hear us. You're always near. And God, you'll never, ever leave us. I pray, Father, as we sing, that if you're working on anyone's heart, Father, we just pray that you, the Holy Spirit, just work on them, Father, to respond how you may be dealing with them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.